On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some Juice Island, Alarmist, and Goose Island collaboration. We talk about Midwest Coast, and we make some beer predictions for 2021. All that and more on this episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
Feeling the island love.
Man.
Coconut. Got our tiki hut going. I don't know. We're drinking Juice Island.
Yeah, man. From the Fulton Street Tap Room, a collab. I hate when people say the word collab, by the way, where they stress it. Drives me nuts. Oh, it's a collab with Alarmist.
Yeah. Goose Island and Alarmist. Alarmist, the gold medal haze winners a couple years back.
La Juice?
Yeah, La Juice.
Okay.
And then Goose Island, you know, there's infamous. And they don't do a lot of haze. They're not haven't been their game. They have that lost palate, but they didn't like barrel age. They like classic beers, and then the haze, they haven't really jumped on.
We don't deal in turbid beers, is what they Mike Siegel would say.
Okay.
Yeah. And you are absolutely right. And very few collabs. So outside of the in-house collabs with Virtue,
right.
I think they invited Phase 3 out.
Okay.
You know, a couple summers ago.
That's huge.
Yeah.
For them. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is huge for Alarmist, too.
Yeah. It's a very short list. Those are the only two I can think of. That Goose has collabed with.
If you're not Killer Mike or somebody,
oh yeah,
knocking in.
Or Intelligentsia, right? Yeah, if you're not an artist, that's what I think Floyd's and three Floyd's and Goose has in common. Yeah, they're more likely to do a collab with an artist than they would another brewer.
But man, La Juice is such a great beer. Whenever I have it, it has that hotness and hoppiness to it that makes the haze not feel like I'm drinking orange juice and feeling heavy. It's a beer. It's true to the beer nature.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There's a wonderful spicy peppery hop in there. And this is a fun riff on that, because this is all, I remember we talked about it. I want to say there's some white wine or something in here, right? Or some kind of,
there's
some sort of grape or something. We talked about it on the show once.
Oh, when they announced it, yeah.
Yeah.
It has this pineapple or pineapple kind of juiciness.
Yeah, you get pineapple, you get pear. It's got that very ripe, sweet smell to it. It's really delicious.
But not fruit. Yeah, man, it is close to fruit juice, but it's not as heavy or, I don't know, as some haze beers are. You're just kind of I'm good with one. This is super pleasant.
Yeah, although it looks like a nectar, you're right. The sweetness is dialed back on the taste, and all the sweetness is in the nose.
Yeah,
which, I mean, it makes for a fun ride.
It looks bad. Not to say that hazy beers look great, but they have when you see a corridor beer, you're like, it kind of looks nice. It looks orange juice. It's
fucking sunshine.
Right, yeah. Saturation turned way up.
Oh, exactly.
This is, you said mop water.
We had another one like that. I want to say it was from, I think it was Solemn Oath.
Oh, yeah.
I forget the name of it. We like the taste of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we pour it out. We decant it like you should do. And we're like, this has a very odd hue.
Yeah, this is why you drink hazy beers from the can.
Yeah. I can't tell you I knew that Goose Island was doing crawlers, first of all.
I didn't really, I guess I didn't I have. This is my first time getting one, and I don't know. It's a super easy process. I went over there over the weekend and just ordered online, and you just show up, and they're like, "Here you go." Like, you can get a lot of stuff in Crawlers over there, and they had the amount of Bourbon County they still had, and the amount of Bourbon County merch is ridiculous.
Okay. They got a teacup for the Kentucky Fog.
Yeah. Have you gotten one yet?
Not yet, but I'm like, and I'm a coffee guy, but I'm like, okay, man, I'll drink some tea.
If you need to go blow that $600 stimulus check, go do it at Goose Island, because you can basically, it's like going to a toy store. There's so much. There's
a ton of stuff to buy. Yeah. It's a ton of cool stuff. I'm trying to think of what else I would get from there. I think for sure the tea mug.
Then they have the syrup, and I was like, gosh, do I need a Bourbon County hat? I don't know. That's kind of
Be careful. Then there's the vintage beers. You could leave with like some Lolita.
Yeah. Then they had the Brasserie. Series. They had those,
which was a different series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't had those.
Speaking of that series, do you remember the name of that series? It's a wood series, and Brasserie was in it, and there was a couple other ones. The weird Brett Porter that they made with
Brett Porter.
It was an actual Brett Porter. They have a large format series for wood age products, and I think we were questioning out loud. We're like, I wonder if, you know, because we didn't really like Fog, and to a lesser extent Carmella. We were like, I think those were so far out as profiles, like flavor profiles, that maybe they should have been a part of the Brasserie series.
Right.
You know, just kind of like a more of a full-on experimental thing. Yeah.
But I don't, like I said, I haven't had those. And I don't know, I don't see anyone drinking them. They're also like $25 or something to buy a bottle.
They're gigantic. They are like a 765 milliliter. They're like this gigantic fucking champagne bottle.
Yeah, they're like fancy dinner going out kind of.
And then we can't even think of the name of the series. So I mean, that was part of the problem too. Like if you put these beers in that series, it might get lost in the noise.
Mm-hmm. So
you brand it Bourbon County, and it'll be everywhere.
You're gonna blow that $600 fast there. That's all I'm saying. Get yourself a crawler of Kentucky Fog.
It's pouring nicely nowadays though. Fog's getting better.
All right. Yeah. I'll take your word for it. While I went and picked up this crawler, I also went over to Midwest Coast.
Yeah, you could almost walk there.
I did walk.
Okay.
Well, I ran from my house to Midwest Coast, and then I walked home, and Goose Island's on the way home.
Nice.
So I did that, carrying a six-pack and a crawler, walking down the street.
I can dig it.
I picked up a mixed six-pack from Midwest Coast.
All right. So
it had their brown, their English.
Oh, the ESB, this English sporting beer?
The one that won the bronze. And then they have like a Zwickel, but not a Zwickel, just like a German lager, like a Hello.
Oh.
Blanking on the name of the
Helles?
Style.
A Helles lager?
No, not a Helles.
Not a Pilsner.
The one that's like H E I L O O.
Well, Heliostat.
Helios, yeah.
Oh, so Heliostat is
that's what it says. Oh, I didn't know it was a. I didn't realize it was a style because Metro has one.
Yeah, I just thought that was the name of their beer.
Yeah, they must. I think it's called something else at Metro. Back checking as we record. So it was cool to get like a six pack.
Keller beer. Oh, Keller beer is Wickel beer.
Yeah, so it is a Zwickel. Oh, I thought it was a Zwickel.
Zwickel. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
But then that's a type of the Hello.
No, well, Metro's Heliostat is a Zwickel.
Okay, but they call it Heliostat?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh. Then this had that name on it. But, okay, anyway. It was cool getting a mixed six-pack because that's what I want. I like the mixed six-pack. You can do that at somewhere like Miscuous, but you don't always get that option doing it at breweries. But
yeah,
you got to take pictures of all these beers. You need, we at least get three pictures this way.
You don't, even if it's good, you don't necessarily want six of them,
right?
Yeah, now do you, it's already pre-set the mix, this mix
yeah,
six?
So they just they handed it over, so it was super easy, super fast.
And how's the six work? You get two of the each?
Yeah, two of each. That's good. Does say it's a Helles, so maybe. Yeah, it says on the back. Yeah, on the back of their German style lager, it says the hunker down and hibernate. This is a Helles with its own horizon. So sit back straight, shoulders up, and handle your business with a beer in hand.
There you go. Fantastic tap room.
Yeah, look at all that merch over it.
Holy smokes! Moose Island. Yeah. It's like a fucking department store in there.
Yeah. it does say. Oh, yeah. See, it says Heliostone.
Holstein Helles.
Holstein Helles. Okay. Maybe I saw those letters and thought the Metro one.
True.
So.
Yeah. But in Holstein Helles and Heliostat, I can see that.
Yeah. It was a Midwest Coast. Their beers are pretty good. We've been over there. We did an interview with the brewer owner.
Yeah.
And being in cans is pretty neat.
Yeah, I think he does the brewing. His sister designed the tap room, and he probably runs a tap room too. Uh-huh. Yeah. So.
I will say, like, having their beers at home is great for them. The cans look nice. They're, like, well-designed cans. I feel like maybe Good Beer Hunting had a hand in that.
Oh, in the design?
Yeah, because they were the first people I saw tweet about the cans.
Okay.
But yeah. I could be totally off base there.
New crews that are making these beers and then kind of nailing them, too.
Yeah.
I remember we were there, and what we talk about all the time, the ESB. The only ESB I could think of was Honker's Ale. And Honker's Ale isn't, it might be now, but for a long time it wasn't even made in Chicago anymore.
That's true.
So, yeah.
But their beers are great there. I appreciate that I can get them at home, but they, like, are one of those crews that are, like, having them at the place, like, benefits more than me having it at home. Like, there's some people's beers are like that. Like, not that they're bad anyway. I would just, like, these are pub beers.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily home beers, but I appreciate that I can get them for home now.
I oddly understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's like, this is cool, but it's in some ways it's kind of reminding me that I probably can't have these at a club.
On Tour is another one like that where I like all their beers, but having them there, I was like, this just makes them better. I don't necessarily need to have them at home. I appreciate I can, but they are better at the place.
Yeah, I wonder what that is. Or yeah, part of the joy is drinking it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know what that is. I wish I could laugh. But there is, like, there's something there that just benefits some beers. Yeah. Those were my, like, couple stops this week, and it was nice to just hit up some new things and grab some new beers.
I can dig it, man. You did a lot more than I did.
Yeah. Oh, I did go to Alarmist too on the 30th because I picked up. They have mixed four packs as well.
All right.
So
they got the tall boys. Did Midwest Coast have the tall boys?
No, they're little guys. Not little guys. Normal size.
The 12 ounce. Okay. All right. So what's going on at Alarmist with their mix?
Yeah, I got a double pantsless.
Double pantsless.
Yeah, so we'll probably do a video of that, give that a little review. I haven't tried it yet. Got some LaJuice, got batch one, which was an oatmeal stout, which it was good. I wasn't like feeling it.
Okay.
When I had it, but it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then LaJuice was in there, the Simcoe version. Yeah. Just like nice to get that variety.
Yeah. A little curbside action up in Saginaw, Illinois.
And they got their giant dynamite now as their sign. Have you seen this on social yet? Like,
no.
This is a big old dynamite hanging up. Like, I bet it lights up. I don't know. I was there in the daytime. But it looked nice.
That's a proper three-way right there, bud.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was getting after it.
Yeah.
Pick up, drinking at home. That's what I'm doing.
Browse online, man.
But those were all my stops. Did you hit up anything or try anything new over this, like, New Year's? It's our first episode of 2021.
It is. It is. What have I had? You know, it's all a little bit of a blur, Brad.
As New Year should be.
Yeah, but I want to get down with some of this. I have a collection of third phase stuff that I want to try. So maybe we'll try one in one of the post-game sections here. The curvatures are the non-barrel-aged ones. And then what else? Oh, and then the Uonya is the barrel-aged version.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm curious about those. That's the member. Curvature stuff is online, but the barrel-aged ones are like membership-only stuff.
Okay.
So it's kind of a pain in the ass to get one of these.
Damn. All
right. Yeah. That and but I did try some of the Moore. The Moore had a barrel aged release with Voodoo Brewing. I still don't know where Voodoo Brewing is. They had
I feel like I've had a Voodoo beer.
Yeah, I just think of Voodoo Donuts every time I hear Voodoo.
Yeah, I can picture the Voodoo bottles from like back in the day for some reason.
Yeah, they had a Dark Matter Coffee Stout. It was a 2 year old barrel aged beer infused with Dark Matter Coffee, and it was a collab with Voodoo Brewing.
Nice. Okay.
15.6%, and it was. I tell you, man, it was fucking lights out. It was everything you want from the. Remember, the old Moore regime was the guys that left and went to Phase Three.
Right.
And it was very reminiscent of that kind of style, where it was big and it was viscous, but it was just it stopped being syrupy right when it was supposed to.
Oh, well, that's right? Good. Okay.
And it was just such a enjoyable thing. Yeah. I'm like, it kind of restored your faith in these kind of beers, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I really dug that. But that was a short list. It was a short list. That's kind of all I did.
Some big beers to ring in the new year, basically.
You know? And then, you know, you got to drink this stuff, man. You know, this shit changes.
I know.
You got to, it's got coffee in it. I'm like, I quit fucking around here, man.
Yeah, I almost opened up Goose Island, the 2019 barley wine, because that's one I actually have. Over New Year's, but we drank some bottled cocktails, and then it was like, I'm good.
You'll pass out.
I don't need to, like, open this.
You won't. You'll miss the countdown. You do that.
Yeah.
That's just what I did. I was done by, like, fucking
9:30. Rewind it on the DVR for the next day. Like,
I had to set I had to set an alarm. I'm like, oh, yeah, happy New Year. Yeah. All right, I'm going to go back and get some shut-eye. I'm old.
But as we're in the New Year, we should make some predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's doing these, like, their recaps of the year. We're moving forward. What's going to happen?
I mean, I'm with you there, partner, because I barely remember what the fuck happened last year.
Yeah.
It's kind of a blur.
And a lot of these beers were, like, one-off beers or, like, things no one else can get, so.
Yeah, that's true. And I think some people take some pride in that, right? Where they're just like, hey, it matters not how hard it was to get. This is the best thing I've had all year. And that's cool. I can dig that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were talking in the pre-show a little bit about a beer we both had, the Wild 10 from Penrose.
Which blew us away.
Yeah.
And won a – didn't it win?
It won at Phobab. So. Yeah. We were drinking it, and we were like, man, the vibes on this are the perfect fucking, Sour Patch Kid
it
vibes.
It brought tears to my eyes. That's how good I was like, this is what a sour beer should taste.
We're looking at each other.
A wild beer should taste.
We have no complaints. We're just happy as we can be. Yeah, there were moments like that. That's the only one I can remember.
This is up there now. This is kicking off 2021.
I'm telling you, man. I'm like, these beers that are just effortlessly do what they have to do. Mm-hmm. You don't have to think about them. This definitely fits in that category.
All right.
This LaJuice. So.
I'm going to say like my first like general prediction would be more collaborations from a lot of these like old guard breweries like Goose Island or maybe Firestone Walker with some of these new breweries, because not that we don't drink Goose Island beers, we do, but I wasn't going to go in there to get the special edition 312 cans, but I went in there to get Juice Island.
Yeah, it becomes more of a celebration of the market, of the section, of the category, I meant to say.
Yeah.
Because, there's a guy who's like his name's Ale Sharpton, and he's a beer personality, and he maybe writes some columns or some stuff like that. Oh, but he's got a beer with New Belgium,
okay,
and it's called like Piano Keys or something. Cool name, super small footprint on the collaborator, and then the brewery's a monster brewery, right? Kind of bridges those worlds, and it kind of reminds me of, speaking of New Year's. Remember for a couple of years in a row, the Infinium beer. It was a Sam Adams, Vine Stefanin collaboration. And they used this yeast from the world's oldest brewery, and they made these champagne style beers that were meant for the
celebration. Yeah.
Beers, breweries like that, you know, 2,000-year-old brewery partnering with Sam Adams, you know, for just for a holiday beer. Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, and you had like Afro Beer Chick brewed with Revolution. This was like in 2019, but I bet we see a little more of that this year as like some of these breweries try to bring in like maybe influencers or people like outside of their group to be like, come get this beer. Like we're doing smaller runs, more limited edition, just come in every week rather than like these tap room releases. It's like you can get this beer, take the picture, spread it. It just like makes it that much cooler.
Yeah, I agree. And to your point, the bigger breweries have a chance to really do something cool in that regard, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of
especially like Goose Island. They kind of were like a events brewery. Like they had events, they had bands play, and it was like let's hang out with the Goose Island crew. You can't do that now. People aren't hanging out with Goose.
Yeah. So if there was there were more collabs with. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not even other, even if it's not with smaller breweries, even if it's just with, you know, just certain neighborhoods,
right?
With some kind of cool concept, yeah, I'd like to see more of that.
So, that's my first prediction for what we'll see in beer for 2021. What do you got?
Man, I tell you, I was surprised at the number of times I just went looking for like a simple, safe, reliable classic offering.
Classic beer?
Yeah. Like, you know, because, like, you're right, man. We're always looking for new. But on the other spectrum, right, like, I don't want to, like, experiment too much. The at-home experience, you know, I don't want to experiment too much at home because, you know, I'm at home, so my vibes are already set. So I want something that just kind of complements that.
If you don't like it.
Then you got to dump. You got to fucking dump it. I dumped more beer this year.
Yeah,
you know?
You dump it or you're like, I'm going to power through. But if you're at a bar, you'd be like, give me a taste.
Yeah, give me a taste. Or, you know, the bar is kind of doing some of that lifting for you. You're just kind of experiencing it. And you're like, all right, that was cool, but I won't do it anymore. But when you're at home, you're defiant. And you're like, I don't want this.
Yeah. And if it was a new brewery, you're like, I'm not going to get them again.
Yeah. Or if a new beer from an old brewery. So I'm just like, you know, I think the classics, man. I'm going to stick.
Classics.
Just more of the classics. Like, I haven't been so like the Haymarket beer, the Chicago Export Lager.
Yeah.
Like I was
just like the tavern beer.
Yeah, tavern beer. Thank you. Yeah, I was super into that. Okay. That six pack.
That's why I like am loving Metro like more and more every time I have it. It's just I crush those beers real fast because it's like it's like eating macaroni and cheese where you're like, this is like everything I want right now. Like it's bringing that joy.
Yeah. More stuff like that is cool. And then it makes me want to, this year reminded me of, because the Metro party that we went to wasn't this year. We talked about this. It wasn't last year. It started 2018 or 2019.
End of 2018?
Yeah.
Or no,
it was January 2019. But they have a better coffee program than most people in the city.
Right.
You know, I'd rather have their coffee beers over, you know.
Most people's, yeah.
So, yeah.
It's more, safer beers. Yeah, I even saw
More classic beers, man.
I saw a picture from today from Old Irving, and I think it was a Helles or a Bock or something like that. And so I was like, yeah, that's kind of what I want.
Yeah. Like, bring it on.
So I feel like we may have peaked with Haze, although we're drinking. We're drinking one now and talking about Alarmist. But I think the at-home experience of that, it's peaked a little bit. Like, or it's hit the ceiling. Not that it's peaked. It's just, like, how much of that can you drink at home?
So yeah.
The beer drinker might want something else.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that. Do you think we're going to see draft beer like make a comeback or the bar scene happen here?
Well, Delilah's was on a Zoom today, right? And it was a whiskey Zoom, but they were saying how they're looking to open their doors in April.
Okay.
You know, so I think well, their place isn't really built for a ton of draft stuff. But I mean, I think people are targeting, you know, to start a baseball season to really get after it with like on premise heavy, you know, it's on premise tavern heavy setups. Like people are going to be come back and say, hey, this is come support us. Everyone's going to open at once. Come and support us and be safe.
Is that draft beer or are we now like, I'm good with the package can because I know that cup is clean or I can drink it out of the can. I don't want you filling it up. Like, do you think we're going to see less draft beer and more people being like, I'll just drink that from the package?
You know,
at these places, though.
Yeah. Like, if you charge me a crowler price and maybe a couple more bucks to drink it on premise, I might just do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the bar makes more money if you just pour it in a plastic cup or whatever.
Right. That's but a the bigger ramp problem. Up of these breweries who are now a year into adapting with no kegs, are they going to ramp up very fast? Like, say, all these places open in April, no one's going to have kegs. There's no kegs.
Yeah. How much are you dedicating to kegs?
If someone has a keg, it's old. It's not. Don't, unless it's like something that cans in the keg for a little while. Otherwise, I don't even want like an old High Life or something that's been, or like Miller Lite that's been sitting in kegs, right?
It's a fair question. I'm not even, you know, I went to Unani, right? And I went to Maplewood. And I was getting a hoodie at Off Color. So then me and Ben had a talk.
Yeah.
You know? But shit, like, I was low-key uncomfortable. Nothing to do with them. I was low-key uncomfortable all three times.
Yeah.
You know, even though I was having moments of joy with the fucking beer on draft. But the overwhelming sense of, you know, we talk about it all the time. Like, man, this would be a fucked up way to get Rona, hanging out drinking some fucking draft beer. Yeah,
this is how I... 8 months of not doing it, and then I have a beer, and then I get it.
So it's tough, man. It's tough. And to your point, have we changed? I don't know. You know, I would rather see, you know, there's a spot on Lincoln, and it's just like a sangria bar. It's a wooden, it's like a lemonade stand, but they're selling sangrias.
Okay.
And, you know, they're pouring them in cups. They got the top on them, and off you go. You know, I'd rather see something like that, you know. Then come drink beer on draft at my bar. I don't know. That's just me. You know, that's just me.
Yeah, I think the draft might be a little slow going.
But these places are built
for draft.
You know, built for draft, built for 100 people every day.
Yeah.
So what is the fix? I don't know what the fix is, and it sucks. But, yeah.
And then at some point where people are like, well, I gave you $8 for this can, I could go spend $12 at the little corner store and get the six pack. Why am I? We have now been conditioned to drink at home or really just drink anywhere because no one's stopping you.
Yeah. I mean, the competition for bars isn't other bars. The competition for bars is the at home options.
Like,
I would just rather do this at home.
I moved. I got a bigger place. I have a backyard. I have booze. I am a bar. I got TV. Whatever. What do you got?
I'm just going to do it here.
Popcorn?
That's...
I want that popcorn.
Unless it's Bangers and Lace in the middle of winter, man, because, you know, I like sitting in that back fireplace.
Yeah, but they close for the winter.
Or Scofflaw with the cookies that come out at midnight. And they got two fireplaces. Like, I do miss those things. But, man, I don't know, man. How do we go back to just being a tavern town and drinking at bars all the time? How do we go back to that? We all get this fucking
vaccine.
We all get the vaccine. That's how we get back.
I don't know if that happens this year. I don't know.
Maybe in Q4 for regular folks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for non-essential folks.
So the draft beer, what's going to be? I miss it. I was talking on Zoller, was said hop slam season is here. And I comment like, cool, that's the beer I miss the most with draft. Even it was, as Corona hit the first time, I was like, originally here we were recording, I'm like, I don't want a six pack of Hop Slam. I want to drink it at a bar and have the one and be like, Hop Slam this year. I think I still have Hop Slam from last year.
Yeah, being at Benny's, back when Benny's on Roosevelt was the flagship Benny's, and you know it's the dead of winter and everything sucks, and they say you know mid January it's Hop Slam. We got a cask of it. We're pouring it at 5, and all these people, every walk of life, some people in suits, you know, people in hoodies, everyone's there, and it's fucking nonstop till the cask is gone. And that's, man, there's nothing better than fresh Hop Slam on cask or on draft. Nothing.
Yeah.
So, oh, man. Just when I think I'm comfortable in our situation, I start thinking about the shit that we used to do, and I just unravel, man. I fucking unravel.
So then the last, like, or I don't know, maybe not the last, but the other prediction, the beer fest scene. The thing this podcast is built on is events, which were often beer fests.
Yeah.
Are we gonna see them this year? Are they going to be like super limited, 50 ticket kind of like tap room takeover, tap takeovers, but it's a ticketed event? I don't think we see the. Our first ones would have been Uppers and Downers here as we're like coming full circle, because that was like the last event. It was Uppers and Downers and the
Dark Side?
Night of the Living Ales. Those were the last events. So like, we're coming up on Dark Side and all those as we get into the new year. Those can't happen.
No.
Like Emporium's not even open still. So what's any predictions on what that beer fest scene looks like?
You almost have to, man, this is tough. Because nobody's really, last year, nobody really kind of captured the essence of these parties in the, you know, dial in virtual.
The DigiFest.
Did the DigiFest really, which, you know, I thought Fresh Fest was kind of cool for a DigiFest. Only because there were breakout rooms and you could talk to folks.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But, like, you know, and then Tavor got involved. And if you can get beers, you know, and I think to a lesser extent, Phobab was like that, where you could actually get some cool beers picked up if you wanted to. But I don't know, man. I think part of the best part of the fest is interacting with people. So then how are you capturing that part on the digi? Yeah. Even if you get cool beer, even if we had all the cool beers from whatever our favorite party was. If we had them here, you know, that's only part of it.
Yeah, how do you get that, like, oh, well, cool, try this barrel-aged, I don't know, noir, blah, blah, blah. It's like you take a sip of someone else's that you've met one time. You're like, all right.
Okay. Every time I'm watching these fucking, you know, college football games or these baseball games, and, you know, big stadium, small capacity, I mean, you could do this in the United Center. And it just charge more, and it becomes more of a fundraiser thing, where you know it might be $200-$300, you know, but there's only 110 tickets.
I don't know. You got someone the Cavs are letting 2,000 people into that stadium
to the basketball stadium.
Yeah,
I mean,
so like that's a lot of people when you think about it. Like that doesn't seem like a lot of people, but it seems like a lot of people in our.
Yeah.
Our world.
And take your precautions the same way you do with outdoor seating now. And I feel like, but I don't think we even bothered to look at that as an option last year. Mm-hmm. You know, we were saying this about Phobat. We were saying, fuck the DigiFest, just put it in a stadium, you know?
And have micro sessions, and then you move over, you disinfect in between, and you move over.
You know, Microphone Brewing kind of showed you the way, because they had these mini Phobab sessions that were like literally 40 tickets, right? Yeah. And it ain't gotta be that small, but
I think that's the only way to do it.
I feel like that's a doable thing, you know. Take advantage of the biggest space you can think of.
It might be like $100 tickets or $150 tickets, but people are gonna spend, and you only have to do 40 of them. So as a brewery, you're like, this might work out.
Yeah. So, and so, it doesn't even have to be like stadium level stuff. You know, it could be just a local neighborhood facility that holds a few hundred, and you just a fraction of that. Let's get it, though. Let's get 80 people together. Let's throw a party, you know? the old, the West Loop Gymnasium that Fourth Ave used to be at.
Oh, yeah.
It could be anywhere, you know?
The Plumbers Union there?
Those were the best Fourth Ave.
I think the Plumbers Union is building a new hall, so maybe it comes back.
I mean, you know, give me mini Fourth Ave in person at the Plumbers Union.
Well, isn't mini Fourth Ave at Haymarket, right? They do mini Fourth Ave.
Yeah, give me mini.
Small 2021, we don't see our big beer festival. We see smaller ones that are very limited, expensive tickets. That's probably the only way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it'll give people a chance to come take care of. What am I trying to say? Come be overly. If you make an ultra premium offering, if you offer an ultra premium product, you'll give the audience a chance to come and fucking buy it.
Right.
People will buy it if you put it out there.
Right. And it might be reusable cups. I don't think our taster glass days might be behind us. But
I think so too.
I don't know what that looks like either.
Someone get you a super fancy disposable cup and toss that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Some sort of green biodegradable plastic.
Yeah, you might have to go with pours that look more like something if you sat at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might get your 6 to 8 ounces per pour.
The ticketed thing might be like, you only get 8 tickets because there's 40 of us. You're getting 8 pours.
Get bigger pours. Fuck that glass. Fuck that fake glass. Get another nice fake glass.
Yeah, and we're washing these glasses in
100
and 200 degree water here in between.
Something like that. There's a way though. The point is though, we need more interaction at these parties, and the DigiFest ain't cutting it.
So we got styles, we got collaborations, the festivals, the draft beer. That's like covers the like bigger umbrella.
Yeah, those are the those are the pillars of what makes Chicago so cool.
And possibly a haze peak or ceiling at the moment.
Yeah, it's to a point now where when I think IPA,
you think of a juicy IPA.
Subconsciously.
Hop Slam sounds like, what is that?
Yeah. 10% clear IPA with honey.
Right.
Yeah. Sounds weird now. But I might get 6 and not need 6. Or we just drink them all at one night. Whichever comes first, man. You know?
Well, cool. It's tough to eat. If we would have did predictions in 2020, didn't know what was coming our way.
Yeah. I think the 2019 going into 20 predictions had a lot to do with, like, you know, I think it was like custom delivery services of what you could order for beer. I think we were saying like an app that got you some.
Yeah, more delivery options, which we've definitely seen. And every brewery can now delivery. I think we talked more about like the Little Buddy and St. Laurent smaller format, which maybe, but there's no money in that. So I don't see any breweries.
That's the problem.
It works when everyone's drinking a lot. When you're drinking at home, you don't want a tiny pour. You don't want a tiny bit. You do want a tiny bit, but you don't want to pay for a tiny.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, we're out of Juice Island, so we're going to get some more beer, do some videos for YouTube, and that's going to do it for this episode, this first episode of 2021. We've been doing the show for a long time now.
That's funny. Yeah. So I can remember being in the old studio, and you know, the pregame was different, and coming over here. I feel like we've been over here. It feels like just as long as the old place, right? Was there a place in between? No, right?
No.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely been here just as long, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe longer. So yeah, thanks everyone for listening, and as our format has ever been evolving, I guess.
Yeah, I think for us, like, we're talking about interactive experiences. I think for on the Beer Pass side, we should definitely get back into, you know, finding people and having them tell their story.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I think, you know, that's what kind of drives a lot of our conversation between each other, is like these, you know, that layer of the people behind the beers, you know. Right. Yeah, and how they ended up in the locations they ended up in, that kind of shit is all part of Chicago, those Chicago stories.
Because right, no one wants to hear about Brad getting more alarmist beer or Nick going to Hubbard's Cave again.
it's cyclical. It's cyclical. We're not like... We're not that adventurous.
Creatures of habit.
Yeah. But if we, you know, we hang out and learn what other folks are doing, that's part of it too. We should do that.
For sure. Cool. All right. That'll do it for this week's episode. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at BRad, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Instagram. I think I've been posting about a beer picture a day, so we're doing good.
I'm fucking lighting it up.
Killing it. Check that out. We're doing some live streams over there. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. And we'll be back soon. Take care.
Cheers.